All right, friends, our first lesson is from Paul's letter to the churches in Rome, Romans 8, beginning at verse 6. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Paul writes, "To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it can't. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you." The word of the Lord, my friends. Just need to stop there. Amen. Whew. Okay. Where was I? Second reading, friends. John chapter 11. a good chunk of it. We're going 45 verses. Great story. The raising of Brother Lazarus. Again, follow along with me. Now, a certain man was ill. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Martha and Mary, her sister. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, and Mary stayed at her home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. One of the coolest tricks I ever saw in school was a day in science class when the teacher brought in some liquid hydrogen. I'm pretty sure it was hydrogen. But besides being kind of creepy looking and kind of the mist, you know, do y'all do this stuff at Longwood? We'll see. Anyway, it was kind of creepy because the mist is coming over. But besides that, she took racquetballs and froze them and then dropped them on the floor and they would just shatter. Of course, that's really cool when you're in high school, right? The coup de grace, however, was when she took a goldfish and froze it solid. 1 minute, swimming around in the bowl. The next minute, well, it was not. oblivious to what was going to happen 1 minute, the next minute it's just frozen solid. No observable signs of life. It was no longer breathing. And of course, and then she put it back into that room temperature water, and it thawed out and began to swim again. There it was, doing the fish thing. I can only imagine that it never knew that for a few seconds it was going to cease to live. It wasn't until we froze Bobby that people really began to understand in the room about cryogenics. I'm just joking. We didn't freeze Bobby. Maybe you thought we did. I don't know. Yes, I made that up. The goldfish was real. As amazing as that was to me, however, it was nothing, of course, compared to the story of Lazarus. There was no, he might be frozen part of this story. John wants you to know, without the shadow of a doubt, that Lazarus is not just slightly dead or mostly dead. He was completely gone. What to us and to Mary and Martha might seem like cruelty, if you had only been here sooner, Jesus, was Jesus' way of showing us the biggest lesson possible. Even death does not stand a chance in the face of God's love. The story of Lazarus in John's gospel is the key pivot. It is that point. There, the entire story takes an important turn. Up to that time, Jesus has been showing us signs of the kingdom, healing people and talking to people and restoring people and giving those around something to really talk about. He was showing us powerful lessons and giving us hard teaching sometimes. And some of those stories we've read in previous weeks. This week, life and death are on the line. Healing is not enough. This time, God, through Jesus, will triumph over death. John's gospel makes the case again and again that Jesus and God are one, that God the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. Here we see that unlike anything we have seen before. After this act in John, the religious leaders decide enough is enough, and they plot to kill Jesus. This is the act, this raising of Lazarus, that crosses the line in their eyes. Too many people are listening to Jesus. Too much is happening around him. You know, you'd think that folk might be, I don't know, delighted to have somebody around who could do amazing things, even raise people from the dead. Remember Aunt Mabel who choked on that bite of pecan pie a few days ago? Jesus, help us out over here. Well, then there was Cousin Tobias, very rambunctious little guy who got into all kinds of trouble until he fell into that hornet's nest. Hey, Jesus, bring back that little bright spirit for us. You'd think that someone who could actually do this for people would be super popular among those who are leading the people. Wouldn't they want to be his friend? You know, they would look good. But you and I both know it didn't work that way. And maybe it could never work that way. The problem is that we are a culture of death. Ever since the beginning of humanity, long before taxes, the one constant was death. We all come to an end, even good old Methuselah. Who has the courage or stupidity of saying that there's any other way that life could end? It has always been this way for everyone. We have figured out our very existence around this one basic fact. Death meets us all. And we have never met anyone who has come back. This changes our idea of life and how we treat others. It, especially our enemy. This, our idea of relationships changes. And who gets what? Our idea of entertainment changes as we revel in the notion of death without actually dying ourselves. Our idea of health care changes to simply fight death as the enemy with everything we have, even if it might be more dignified and humane to allow someone to come to an earthly end. Death, the fact that we are mortal and one day we will die, informs everything about our lives in some way. But then Jesus comes along and says, maybe not. Even the religious leaders were counting on the way life has always been and was always supposed to be. Their sense of power and control was bent on a world in which death, as far as they knew, was the last word. If you can threaten people with death, and that is the end, then you can stay in power. Magnify that a million times, and you have places of war like Ukraine. Mary and Martha opened the door to something different, however. Did you notice that first century Judaism already has some kind of idea of the resurrection from the dead? That was not an old idea. Previously, Jews did not have this idea. And I don't believe we know where and how it came about, but some of the Jews in Jesus' day did believe that we all basically sleep until Jesus' returns on the last day and all the faithful will rise from the grave. Jesus is not saying that's wrong, per se. Jesus is saying she's right, about the resurrection. The challenge is when. Her notion is that the resurrection would be not until a long time after she was gone. That's in her mind. She would never participate in the resurrection until the end of time. Jesus says, no. Resurrection is today. I am the resurrection. It changes everything. When the people of God can be resurrection people now, this is the single greatest gift to us as followers of Jesus that we pay little to no attention to. Even today, through this message so far, our thoughts jump so quickly and easily to the comfort and security of knowing that we also believe that one day we will have a complete and bodily resurrection sometime off in the future. Let's be honest with ourselves. We do not wake up every morning thanking God that we are in the resurrection in this very moment. Now, we may thank God that heaven and eternal life await us one day, but today is our day to live this out. Always. Today. Jesus is our resurrection, and he will get back to us in 2,000 years? No, friends. He's with us today. Jesus cannot help but bring resurrection power. That's the whole point of the story. He's showing us what it means to be connected to him today. If Jesus is with you, his resurrection is working something in you in this very moment. This is incredibly important as we do live in a world devoted to death. Arranged around death, crushing people with death. Now, I'm not trying to say that death is evil. No, of course not. It's also a natural part of life. But we have allowed death to be the ruling factor in our everyday lives. We've accepted death as the operating procedure of the world. We roll over and allow people bent on death to do anything they want in the world. That's the travesty of the body of Christ today. A Lord who brought resurrection, power, and life is given a closet in our lives so that one day a week we can bring him out for a pep talk. So what would a community consumed by resurrection energy look like? I think you might guess. People would not be living in fear. People would not be obsessed with power and control. The idol of money and security would not determine how much we're willing to love. Children would not go to bed afraid or hungry or hurting. Our neighbor would be blessed. We would be blessed no matter who any of us might be. The brokenness in our community, the illness and sickness of a world living the death lie, that's beyond healing. We don't need to just go back to another age, another stage, another day, a different day when things were better, because it was never better for everyone. What we need is a time today when life means something. We need a day when we live Jesus between us. We need a day to be resurrected together in the love of God now. This day is actually here if we're willing to see it. To God be the glory. Amen.